helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. The period after the fall of Rome is frequently referred to as the Dark Ages and is characterized by economic, intellectual, and cultural decline. As we stare into the abyss of a new recession that some say may grow into a depression, the collapse of the scientific method and the intentional debasement of our culture, especially our children, could America and the world be entering a new dark age? Benjamin Franklin, writing as Silas Duguid, wrote, "Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech." Yet freedom of speech and thought is under attack today. Recent evidence from both the Twitter Files and Disinformation Inc., not to mention the multiple examples of cancel culture, show the suppression of thought of speech in an attempt to suppress freedom of thought. In his first inaugural address, George Washington said, "And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally staked on the experiment entrusted into the hands of the American people." Will the American people allow the sacred fire of liberty to go out? Will the American people fail in this experiment in self-government? Will we rage against the dying of the light, or simply ask the last free person to turn them off? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and I am so glad you could join me today. Last night, I was doing a little reading, had a little TV on, and this thought about dark ages came to mind. This idea of, are we entering a new dark age? So I put it in my notes, and then this morning I take a look at some of my stack of articles, and I'm going, we are rushing pall mall into a new dark age. At least that's what it appears. The question is, will the American people turn this thing around or just be dragged like lemmings over the cliff into oblivion? Now, when I think of the dark ages, I think of the suppression of freedom of thought. The idea there were certain concepts that were not allowed in polite society, in society at all, that if you disagreed with the approved narrative, well, you were punished by everything from losing your farm to losing your life. Now, I've covered previously what we learned from most of the Twitter files, the fact that the federal government was colluding with Twitter to suppress information they didn't want. They didn't like, they didn't want out there, they were suppressing it. But it's not just government. So the Washington Examiner has released a multi-part series called Disinformation, Inc., in which they find that there are supposedly nonpartisan groups that say they are trying to fight online disinformation. And what we're finding now is that these companies have basically set up, well, blacklists. The idea of a list of companies and websites they are not to be allowed to, and they're feeding this information to advertisers. See, what they're trying to do is defund and shut down disfavored speech. At least that's what it seems both to me and to the Washington Examiner. For example, the Global Disinformation Index, which is actually a British group with two U.S. affiliates, was used to help, well, shut or get NewsGuard off of DirecTV. At least that's what the reporting is. Now, GDI's mission is to remove the financial incentive to create disinformation at its core output. But who decides what is disinformation? See, that's the biggest problem. When people refer to disinformation, who decides? What is the objective standard for disinformation? And the answer is, there isn't one. Disinformation now basically means whatever you don't like. It's not something that's demonstrably false. It's something that we don't think people should be allowed to hear or to see or to read. Now, there are currently at least 2,000 websites on GDI's exclusion list. And just imagine, you're one of these websites. I don't know if the Constitution Studies is on there or not. But imagine, you know, you're a small organization, you have a website, you're trying to use advertising to get the word out. It's one of the hardest things to do is to get the word out, only to find out that your ads are being blocked on many of the more influential websites because you're on somebody's blacklist. And these companies are raking in the cash to deprive you of knowledge. Because again, it all comes down to what is disinformation? Because when people who do this reporting, when they look at the blacklist, when they get access to it, you know what they find? They find it's not the progressive Marxist, Leninist, Maoist totalitarians that get blacklisted. No. No, it's the conservative, it's the Republican, it's the freedom fighters that get blacklisted. Now think about this. If information is controlled by one side, intellectual decline, cultural decline. Now there have been a couple reports that Xandr, which is a major advertising company owned by Microsoft, has been doing a lot of this flagging for blacklisting. And they've removed some of the negative flags. But take a look at what was on the list. Again, this is Xander's flagging. See, they flagged Town Hall as reprehensible and offensive. They labeled false and misleading 39 specific domains that lean, well, conservative. Like the Washington Examiner, the Daily Wire, Real Clear Politics, Drudge Report, Newsmax, Breitbart, The Blaze, The Washington Times, Judicial Watch, and MRC TV were all designed to be defunded through this GDI and the Xandr organization that flagged them. Now, Xandr sent a data set to the Washington Examiner that showed, oh, no, we're not flagged. We've pulled the flags. We've removed those flags. Do you trust them? Since it is obvious that there's a bias into their process, do you trust that the flags are really gone? Was the data that was sent to Washington manipulated? Or do they simply remove the flags and then put them back? See, because I have to wonder. Again, we know that Newsmax got thrown off of DirecTV. I know that recently I spent half a month of the Constitution study. I was not getting any data tracking from Twitter. For over 2 weeks in February, Twitter said I wasn't making posts, even though I was making dozens of them. There's a suppression of information. And what's interesting is I can remember when Google goes back to was it politically correct? You can't say that. It's not politically correct. You can't think that because it's not politically correct. And it's interesting where it goes everywhere. My wife loves these home renovation programs. And one of the things I notice is more and more programs are not referring to master bedrooms or master suites. They refer to them as main suites or primary suites, because those words are now not allowed. The idea that a person is the master of their home is being taken away. And before you think this is just conspiracy theory, a panel took a look at some of the stuff, and they were looking at GDI's risky lists. All right, so you've got, I showed you some of the names that were originally on the risky list that were flagged. Let's take a look at some of the least risky websites according to GDI. NPR, ProPublica, The Associated Press, Insider, New York Times, USA Today, Washington Post, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, and The Wall Street Journal. Well, this was according to a report that was done. Now, here's the interesting thing. With the possible exception of The Wall Street Journal, every one of those organizations can be described as left-leaning. National Public Radio, they're certainly not unbiased. ProPublica, The Associated Press, The New York Times, The Washington Post, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, And if you look at the Wall Street Journal, I'd say, you know, at least in their commentary, they're a little more balanced. But this is the crushing of information, the suppression of speech, the suppression of thought. And that leads to darkness. Because if you're not allowed a countervailing argument, if someone says the sky is black and you're not allowed to contradict that, if someone says that you know, socialism is wonderful and you're not allowed to contradict that, we don't learn from our history. We don't learn from our experiences. Think of all the scientific discoveries that were shot down because they didn't meet the dogma of the time. Galileo and the idea that the Earth is not the center of the universe is what it quickly comes to mind. I know there's more, they're just not coming to mind off the top of my head. But it we see it here today. This is not simply something from the Middle Ages. We see it here today, where information is not allowed and people have died. For example, a Dr. Wichner, who it was the former ER medical director, had his contract terminated back in December of 2021 when he attempted to use ivermectin for 3 of his hospitalized COVID-19 patients. Mary Bowden, who is an ear, nose, and throat specialist, posted on Twitter that she supported ivermectin use and that the vaccine mandates were wrong. She was quickly suspended from Houston Methodist Hospital. Not long after, Yusuf Salbi, who was a medical doctor in South Carolina who had 30 years of experience, received a letter from the South Carolina Medical Board detailing that they'd received a complaint that he prescribed ivermectin to one of his patients. The board was opening an investigation. Beth Chambers is an attorney in Colorado who says she's representing several doctors and healthcare providers that were facing investigation from the Colorado Medical Board for prescribing ivermectin. Now, ivermectin is not only a drug with decades of history as safe use in humans. It's actually, it's one of the WHO's mandated, your base medicines is ivermectin, and won a Nobel Prize for how it works. And there is actual scientific and anecdotal evidence that it works, especially if used early. But these men and women are being targeted. They're being attacked. They're losing their licenses, their ability to practice. But even worse, how many thousands, possibly millions of people have died because they weren't allowed to try a medically safe, medically sound, human-safe drug that the FDA has already approved. Simply because, well, the FDA said, no, don't use it here. Do you have evidence it's dangerous in when used with COVID-19? No, we just don't want you to use it. And in fact, now there's a group of doctors, they're actually suing the FDA and the Department of Health and Human Services for their attempts to prevent ivermectin from being prescribed to treat COVID-19. Now, their lawsuit argues that the FDA cannot generally ban particular uses of human drugs once they are otherwise approved, but that they overstepped their authority by directing the public, including health professionals and patients, not to use ivermectin to treat COVID-19, even though the drug remains fully approved for human use. So you think about the intellectual decline. We're not going to allow doctors to practice medicine. You must follow the bureaucratic rules or else. But what about the cultural decline? The decline of bureaucracies denying medical treatment to individuals because it doesn't meet a political end. That, to me, is a cultural decline that is right up there with what they did in Nazi Germany. It's right up there with Mengele. We're going to experiment on you, and we're not going to allow you to use treatments that they're safe in humans, and maybe it's a shot. This is the darkness that is coming. Imagine some dystopian future, the dystopia we live in now, where you get a disease and there is a safe, likely effective, and inexpensive treatment that you are denied because they want you to use an experimental, untested, and very expensive treatment. This is how far the FDA has fallen. The official FDA Twitter account tweeted out, "You are not a horse, you are not a cow, seriously y'all, stop it. You should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19. Completely ignoring the fact that ivermectin has been used in humans for 60 years. But you see, we have to suppress that fact. We have to suppress that information. See, they said the FDA has not approved the drug for the purpose of treating COVID-19. I don't care. The FDA doesn't have the legal authority to tell me I can't. But that's the dark ages we've entered. Now, I've got more to cover, but I have to take a break. Now, hopefully, this isn't putting you to sleep, but if you're one of those people that has a hard time falling asleep, well, I suggest you go to HealthyCell and try their REM sleep supplement. It's the only sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep, help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, so you can wake up refreshed and ready to go. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to HealthyCell.com, put your order together, try all of their products. Yes, today I'm talking about REM sleep, but you can try any of their products, put it in your cart, use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. AmericaOutloud.com. 7 amazing years. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about what appears to be a coming black, a dark age. time when science and knowledge and morality simply disappears, or at least becomes so suppressed as to make the world dark. Now, before the break, I was talking about the doctors that are going after the FDA and HHS and other organizations for denying them the ability to practice medicine. We talked in that case about the FDA saying, don't use ivermectin. Sure, it's safe in humans. It's been used in humans for 60 years, but no, we're gonna position it as you know, horse paste, as an animal product. Now, there is a dosage of ivermectin that is used in animals. It's used as a dewormer. But it's interesting, when you talk to doctors, not bureaucrats, doctors, you find out one of the things that ivermectin does, and I talked about this with Dr. McCullough, is it allows the zinc to more easily enter the cell and stop the replication of the virus. No, there's a medically sound reason to consider this. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of doctors who have successfully treated patients with ivermectin. And by successfully, I mean they didn't go to the hospital, they didn't die. But yet, we're told we can't use that. We have to suppress that information. Why? Well, again, to promote the vaccine, which is not legally a vaccine. This vaccine that took billions of dollars of your money in taxes to give to people, that was never tested for efficacy, that was never, the tests for safety were subpar, right? They were scientific garbage, but they were forced on people. They were coerced on people. And now we're finding all the instances of myocarditis. Healthy young people, including athletes, simply keeling over and dying. Blood clots. And there's more. There are reports coming out. And this is after just 2 years of this quote-unquote vaccine being available. We're seeing spikes in cancers. We're seeing overall deaths increasing, what they call excess deaths. Deaths beyond what you would normally see in an average science cycle. We're seeing latent diseases starting to come back, like shingles, different inflammatory diseases. Because the language, the information, the wisdom of a certain set of doctors was suppressed, was darkened, was not allowed to shine. While the information from the bureaucrats was promoted, was highlighted, was run around like crazy. So imagine, whatever the next new disease is, do you understand that medical science is no longer free? There's no longer, and by free, I mean, there's no liberty here. You are no longer allowed to practice medicine. You are no longer allowed to get a second opinion, because the government says that's disinformation, that's misinformation, that's dangerous. You can't hear this because it might disagree with us. This is the same totalitarian regimes we saw during the beginning of the Middle Ages that suppressed information that was inconvenient and led to the darkness that we call the Dark Ages, the collapse of intellect, the destruction of morality and culture. I mean, how can we call it science? Remember Fauci said, you know, I represent science, you know, follow the science. Interesting, science is not a noun. Science is a verb. And they've destroyed it. The idea that you have a scientific method, that you take your theory, you create a hypothesis, you test the hypothesis, you modify your hypothesis based on the outcome of the test. Now what they have is, you have a hypothesis, you get millions of dollars to play with it, you don't bother testing it, you simply impose it on the people of the world, and any contradictory information you simply suppress. You don't let it come out. Freedom of speech and freedom of thought are so intricately linked that when they suppress freedom of speech, they also suppress freedom of thought. And it's why, guess what? I don't trust doctors anymore. I only trust a doctor once they've proved themselves to me that they actually are practicing medicine, not bureaucracy. A doctor tells me to do something because the FDA or the CDC says so. I'm not seeing that doctor anymore. That's not a doctor. That's a bureaucrat. They may have a medical license. They may have the title doctor, but they're a bureaucrat because they've fallen into the darkness. It reminds me of a Doctor Who episode. And if you're not a Who fan, don't worry. There's several episodes with a theme where the stars are going out. The idea is you look into the night sky and slowly but surely you're watching the stars go out. Well, that's kind of where we are medically today. The stars are being put out. These doctors that are having their licenses suspended. These doctors that are having to sue to simply practice medicine, that are losing their jobs, that are being, in many cases, harassed by different medical boards, are the lights, the stars going out and the sky growing dark. And most American people are sitting around and letting it happen. Now, I'm not an expert on the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages, but from my understanding, part of what led to this was the politicized church, and I do make that distinction, the politicized church decided for itself what could and could not be said, what was and was not acceptable. I like to think of the movie Martin Luther. If you're not familiar with the story, or if you've never read the movie or watched the movie, it's an interesting movie, Luther. I highly recommend it. But the problem Luther had was he looked at what was going around and said, wait a second, this isn't right. What they're teaching doesn't add up to Scripture. In fact, what they're teaching doesn't agree with what they taught before. And he tried to say something. And the church did all it could to suppress it. They threatened him. They bullied him. They tried to kill him to suppress that message. In many ways, the Dark Ages came about, as I understand it, because not just the church, but the politicians did the same thing. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to think that. You're not allowed to expose that. They took onto themselves the authority to determine what was and was not acceptable in public. Sound familiar? Sound like the FDA, the CDC, the Department of Health and Human Services? Determining that simply by their own edict that ivermectin is horse paste, that ivermectin should not be used, not because of a medically sound reason, not because of science or research, but because it disrupted the approved narrative. It's funny, the number of times I listen to different interviews or people speak, and they are surprised when a regulatory agency doesn't have the people's best interest in mind. And I'm shocked. It seems like the people have forgotten that the people in those regulatory agencies are human. They're just as fallen, just as fallible as any other human. Getting a government paycheck doesn't suddenly make you wise. It doesn't give you character. It doesn't make you omniscient. You're still human. But yet we've turned over our decision-making of some of the most important aspects of our life to a bunch of bureaucrats whose, again, primary goal is not the people they supposedly serve, but is keeping their jobs. So when the FDA has an agenda, they all go along. When the FDA does not require efficacy testing for an emergency treatment, they're shocked. Now, what's interesting is they wouldn't be shocked if Pfizer or Moderna did this, but they're shocked when the FDA does it. As if the FDA, again, is some magical entity. When the FDA lies about the safe use of ivermectin. They're shocked. As if the FDA isn't populated with people just as fallen as everyone else. And when the FDA tries to hide their malfeasance through 75 years of red tape, people are shocked. We shouldn't be. Just because it's a government agency doesn't mean it is infallible. But how many people put their blind trust in what these regulatory agencies say and do? Again, I do mean blind trust. I know dozens of people in my own sphere that blindly trusted the CDC when they said that taking the shot, taking the jab would prevent the spread of COVID. They lied. Not only did they not have any evidence that it would, there was actually quickly evidence that it would not. They blindly believed the FDA when they said it's safe to take these jabs, even though they had, even initially, evidence that it was not. They blindly believed them when they said it was safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. And they've been proven wrong. And how many people have paid a ginormous price? Some have died. Some will have lifelong debilitating diseases because they blindly followed a bunch of bureaucrats into the darkness. And as if that isn't bad enough, we find out now that all the health claims they put on baby formula, there's little to no scientific evidence that it's true. You know, it's funny. There's an old saying, right? Caveat emptor. Buyer beware. Why do we not apply it to bureaucratic agencies? I don't know. Why don't we? But what we see from these agencies is they're selling us into darkness. They are intentionally hiding information from you, and they are allowing lies to come up before you. You say, well, how could a regulatory agency allow that to happen? Because it's just full of people. A senior lecturer at Imperial College London and one of the authors of the study I'm referring to, Daniel Mumblett, said he's very concerned. They're very concerned about inappropriate infant formula marketing. They're providing misleading claims not backed by solid evidence. Now, here's the interesting thing. If the FDA in the United States is supposed to ensure that labeling is accurate, and they don't for baby formula, why? See, all these health claims, which you now find out are mostly fraudulent claims, or at least they cannot be supported by science, encourage people to use formula rather than breastfeeding. Because, well, hey, look at all the health benefits we get from formula. But that isn't true. What is the long-term effect of that? Now, I'm not saying baby formula doesn't have its place. But if you need to make up stuff in order to sell your baby formula, maybe you got the wrong product. And if you're expecting bureaucrats to protect you from that, then you are walking blindly into the new dark age. Now, I know people don't like that metaphor. Oh, Paul, that sounds so apocalyptic. It is. Now, maybe it's because of what I do for a living. Maybe it's just the way my weird mind works. But when I see the American people, millions and millions and millions of Americans, hundreds of millions in some cases, blindly following the dictates of a bunch of bureaucrats that have no legal authority, I have to wonder, are the dark ages next? When information is suppressed, what can come but another dark age? When only a certain elite are allowed to decide what is and is not disinformation, what is and is not true, not based on facts, not based on data, not having to prove their point, but simply because they say so, what else could be coming but a dark age? And what will that mean for our children? For our children's children? Are we condemning them to squalor? To bad medical treatment? To ignorance? And what else? Because we're allowing this dark age to come. Now, if you've never thought about it, if this is new information to you, I ask you, take a look around and see if I'm wrong. Look at how many people are complaining about the censorship, about the malfeasance, about the corruption within so many of our governments at so many levels. All I've done is point out the darkness that leads to. Now, I do have more examples, but I also have to take a break. Before I go, though, there's a couple places I'd like you to visit. First, I'd love it if you went to constitutionstudy.com. That's the home of the Constitution Study. It's where so much of the work comes out of. Now, there's a great place you can ask a question, and if you hit the checkbox, I'll answer the question on the radio. I'm looking for more questions. It's also a place where you can sign up for my mailing list. I do a monthly newsletter where I talk about what's happened and what's going on in the Constitution Study. I have a weekly insider list for people who want more of a behind-the-scenes look at what's going on with me and behind the scenes of the Constitution Study. And, of course, you can have all my articles and videos from that website delivered directly to your mailbox when they're published. You can find all that at constitutionstudy.com. But I'd also like to check out AmericaOutloud.com. It's a great place to go every day to find out the news and goings-on around the world. In this information dark age that we're heading into, it is more important than ever that you stand against the dying of the light, that you share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos. Only by doing that can we secure not only the blessings of liberty, but the freedom to see clearly.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan, a plan based on real science that responds to the real world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, icsc-climate.com.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about the coming dark age. And if there's one thing that identifies a dark age, it's the suppression of information. Now, behind the federal government, the largest suppressor of information has to be big tech. Google, Apple, Facebook, Twitter, these are all companies that have used the people's willingness to follow them to manipulate them by suppressing information. And that information has consequences. For example, after the 2020 election, a poll found that some 17% of Biden voters said they would have voted differently if they had known about the Hunter Biden laptop story. A story, by the way, that was suppressed by social media. A story where the Washington Post, the news outlet that actually that actually did the article, their accounts were suspended. They suppressed information. Now, what's interesting is many of these big tech companies use a federal law as justification for their suppression. You've all heard the term Section 230. It's a provision of the Communications Decency Act that was designed to prevent different media outlets and web outlets from being sued for taking down malicious content. So the idea is, if you were to post something calling for, violence, right? You wanted to gather at the Washington Mall and start destroying property or committing violence against somebody. If those companies took that content down, the federal government didn't want them to be sued. But as frequently happens, the federal government screwed it up. What's interesting is, with all the debate, you know, do we modify 230? Do we get rid of 230? People seem to miss one really basic fact. The vast majority of Section 230 is not problematic. It's literally one line in Section 230 where it says, listen, if these companies are taking down content for, you know, pornography, yada, 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 illegal activity, they added the line, or basically, to paraphrase this, anything they find objectionable. But now, basically, they effectively put these companies, gave them the subjective authority to suppress any information. Now, listen, as private companies, if they have content they don't wish to promote, I don't have a problem with them saying no. At least I shouldn't say I don't have a constitutional problem with them saying no. The problem I have is everyone has looked at 230 and said, well, if this company violates a contract, I can't sue them because of Section 230. They all miss the fact that that part of Section 230, if they can't show a legal basis to protect them from lawsuit, it violates the First Amendment, because this was Congress making a law that deprived the people of the right to petition their government for a redress of grievance. If you think Google or Facebook or Twitter have done you wrong, if you have a grievance against them, you have a right to petition your government for a redress of that grievance. And they don't, and Congress doesn't have the legal authority to pass a law that prevents it. Now, in the middle of all this, there's a recent court case at the Supreme Court where oral arguments were heard, called Gonzalez versus Google. And the allegations are that YouTube, which is owned by Google, they provided a platform and they used their algorithms to recommend terrorist content in a way that incited violence that led to the death of Naomi Gonzalez during a 2015 terror attack in France. Now, that may sound like a little odd, but this is being used to challenge Section 230. In fact, I believe it's the first case to actually challenge Section 230 in the high court. You see, if YouTube, both by their hosting their platform and by using their algorithms to recommend content that was created by terrorists to incite violence, that's a violation of U.S. law. Now, the problem they have here is this didn't happen in the United States. It happened in France. And if the content was not deemed illegal by French law, where's the problem? But the issue is, Ms. Gonzalez was a U.S. citizen. But this is being used to challenge Section 230 and the provisions of whether or not you can sue about certain content. And it's going to have interesting outcomes. Right? Can you sue YouTube for shadow banning? Can you sue Facebook and Twitter for shadow banning because they broke their user agreement? Unless burying the user agreement is their ability to impact your account without your knowledge, to suppress the dissemination of your information. If they are suppressing ad revenue, are they violating a contract? Now, this really has a tremendous potential impact, because the other side of the story is, let's say I post something on the Constitution study and somebody uses that as an excuse to commit an act of violence. Now, I didn't promote an act of violence. I didn't recommend an act of violence, but somebody takes my words and through whatever twisted manner decides that's justification for an act of violence. Does that mean I can be sued for their act of violence? If someone comments on my website that they wish to promote certain racist agendas and I decide not to publish that comment, I pull that comment down, can I be sued? But the point I really want to make in today's episode is, look at the federal government regulating who gets to censor whom. That's, to me, my problem. Again, freedom of speech isn't a justification. It isn't a reason to allow speech that violates law, that violates the rights of other people. But I'm very concerned when government decides what can and cannot be censored and under what conditions. Because again, it's in many ways, these big tech companies have used the broad expansive understanding of Section 230 to censor information. And we are finding out now that the federal government is using them as proxies to restrict information, and using the shield that Congress has put before them as a protection for the malfeasance, the criminal activity of these federal departments, and probably state departments as well. Now, there's another way to suppress information. Now, you've all heard about the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. Well, while representing News Nation, a reporter, Mr. Lambert, was arrested because he was filming a live broadcast while the governor addressed reporters about the derailment by Norfolk Southern Railway. See, during a press conference, Mr. Lambert was in the back of the gymnasium doing a live on-air spot. And he was accused of being loud. Apparently, he was approached by members of the Ohio National Guard and the State Highway Patrol to stop his broadcast. It's interesting. They didn't ask him, and again, I don't have all the details, but according to the reporting, they didn't ask him to please be quieter, to respect the rights of others. They said, leave. Even one of the member of the National Guard actually apparently pushed Mr. Lambert. And this made things tense. Again, there's a lot of information in that details, but I want you to think about this. Imagine the mindset of the National Guard and the State Highway Patrol trying to shut down a reporter. Now, again, if he was loud, if he was disruptive, were there better ways of dealing with this? Probably. In fact, even Governor DeWine said, listen, he shouldn't have been arrested. There were better ways of dealing with it. But that is the militaristic mentality that we've developed, where police say, listen, if I don't like what you're doing, I can shut you down. See, that's part of the Dark Ages, is the oppressiveness of these government actors in an attempt to suppress information. Now, again, if Mr. Lambert was being loud, there are better ways they could have dealt with it. But these are just another example, not only, in my mind, of the suppression of certain information, but Because, again, this is a press conference. It could have gone out on other, it definitely went out on other ways. But it's the mentality that government actors have that they can suppress a person's right to freedom of the press without legal cause. Now, we've talked a lot today about the suppression of information. How about the promotion of certain information? Now, we talked a bit about that when we talked about the FDA, but President Biden recently signed an executive order establishing equity-focused leadership across the federal government. That's language actually from Section 2 of the executive order. He wants to create teams of equity specialists in each and every federal agency. Now, why is that leading us to a dark age? Well, guess what? If you promote one side of an argument and you suppress the other, you're leading us into dark times. So here we have President Biden, and he is promoting equity, which in most cases is used to establish racism, to enforce racist ideas, saying that you have to hire somebody because of the color of their skin in order to be equitable. That you can't fire someone because of the color of their skin, so you have to be equitable. See, this is promoting within the federal government racism. By the way, that's nothing new. Woodrow Wilson had his own version of equity back early in the 20th century when he resegregated the U.S. Army, when he segregated many of the agencies and departments. This is the same thing. The details are different, but again, it's the idea that we're going to reestablish racist policies within the federal government. Or what a California University, this California State University, I guess they told their students they wanted them to report professors that created race-related stress. Now, what could generate race-related stress? Well, how about not being consistently called on in class? Right? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a racist policy. Why were you not consistently called on in class? Maybe you almost never had the right answer. There can be thousands of reasons why someone is not consistently called on in class. Not all of them are racial bias, but because somebody assumes, because the problem you have with the racists is they assume everything is based on race. If you're looking at a class and you're asking someone to give you an answer and you pick somebody, they assume you picked them because of the race. Maybe they put their hand up first. Maybe they consistently give good answers. Maybe you're trying to help a student that's having a hard time, and by calling them out in class and having a discussion with them, you can help them along. Doesn't matter. See, part of this dark age that we are heading to is going to be rampant racism. And the other, I believe we're going to see as rampant, is the climate change hoax. You must agree. The science is settled. Humans are destroying the planet by breathing. The fact that there's the science, the quote-unquote science, right, the actual evidence, the says no such thing, doesn't matter. You're not allowed to contradict it. And if government actors want to use the junk science, well, to take away your rights, they're going to do it. Whether that's forcing you to buy electric vehicles that pollute the planet, denying you the ability to buy a natural gas stove because some crazy nonsense report said it can cause asthma when there's actually no evidence that it does, you'll get shoved a certain way. That's the thing about the upcoming dark age. There's going to be a dearth of information. You will not be allowed to spread information unless it is approved by the ruling elite, whether it's approved by government or by Davos or by whatever group claims authority to do so. It's also going to be the promotion of lies, because without information countering the lie, there's nothing to stop it. This is what America's future looks like. In fact, this is what the world's future looks like. A new dark age where information is restricted, regulated, and used to promote agendas. Where facts and data must give way to political preferences. Where your rights and your liberties and your freedom must submit to the approved narrative of the day. And if you're not willing to, well, expect the National Guard or the police to show up and enforce it. But it only works that way if we let it. If we don't learn to stand up and oppose it. I've got a project I'm developing at the Constitution Study that'll help. So hopefully you'll head to the website and you'll keep an eye out for when I get to publish it. But through our education and through our fortitude, we can prevent this dark age from coming. The question is, will we? Now, one way is to get information from whatever source you can. Like the fact that the Constitution Study is on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network, every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also find it on the podcast, using your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Rate the show. Give me a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find this as well. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. But don't just hoard them. If we want to fight the darkness, you need to share them and help us as we raise the sacred fire of liberty and help secure the blessings as well.